Let us stand before God as we are able and call ourselves into worship of our prophet, priest, and king. We gather together in the name of Jesus Christ, members of God's family, and brothers and sisters to one another. There are no outsiders here among us. No one has any special standing or bragging rights, for we have been brought together by the redeeming love of Jesus. Let's join together in worship. Even our best intentions go awry when we are not at one with God's purpose. Our gracious God journeys with us and provides for us with unending mercy, patience, and kindness so that when we repent, we find ourselves forgiven. Therefore, let us stand as we are able to confess our sin. Eternal God, we trust your steadfast love endures forever. We confess, we act as if we are in control. And yet you will still bless whatever we do. If we think of others at all, it is with an eye towards their usefulness to us. If we consider your creation, it is to ponder what been us. We have failed to show your love or do justice and obedience to you. We have no right to be called your children. Have mercy on us, God of grace. Forgive our sins, we humble pray. But the mind of Christ within us, O God, so our lives take the form of a cross. Use us to break down walls of hostility within the church, among nations, and around the world. Equip us to do your will, giving you glory, honor, and praise together with the Son and the Holy Spirit. One God, now and forever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus gives us rest and peace. Our Master's touch heals us, and his shed blood is our salvation. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. With the joyous knowledge of this gift in our hearts, let us share Christ's peace with all we meet. May the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Please wave this peace to one another now.
You said you'd come and share all my sorrows. You said you'd be there for all my tomorrows. I came so close to sending you away, but just like you promised, you came. I just had to pray. And Jesus said, come to the waters, stand by my side. I know you are thirsty, you won't be denied. I felt it. I strove to remind you that for those tears I died. Your goodness so great, I can't understand. And dear Lord, I know that all I'm free, but Jesus, why me? And Jesus said, come to the waters, stand by my side. I know you are thirsty, you won't be strove to remind you that for those tears I died. Jesus, I give you my heart and my soul. I know that without you I'd never. I felt every tear. I strove to remind you that for those tears I died.
It's good to be with you this morning. Shirley and I enjoy being a part of the Trinity Presbyterian family, and I'm honored to be invited to fill in this morning in our pastor's absence. I actually have preached from this pulpit before, some years ago. It was a community Good Friday service, and your pastor at that time was Ken Kettlewell, who was a good friend of mine. But then most of your pastors that I have known have become good friends of mine. Today we want to acknowledge is the 100th birthday of John Glenn. John Glenn is from Muskingum County and a good Presbyterian. And I assume that Presbyterians from Muskingum County are popular in this congregation this morning. In fact, he was a ruling elder. But he also was a genuine American hero. Our scripture is from Acts, the 9th chapter, verses 3 through 5. During the journey, as he, that is the Apostle Paul, approached Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven encircled him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice asking him, "Saul, Saul, why are you harassing me? I am Jesus, whom you are harassing." The word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Loving Father, you have given us eyes, so let us see. You have given us ears, so let us hear. You have given us mouths, so let us speak. You have given us hearts, so let us love. You have given us minds, so let us think. You have given us souls, so let us have faith through Christ our Lord. Amen. It was on a Saturday morning at the parsonage in Virginia. I was having my coffee and preparing for the worship service the next day, and there came a rap at the door. I went and answered the door, and when I opened it, standing before me were two young men, immaculately dressed, each one of them holding a large, black, leather-bound Bible. And before I could say anything, one of them said, "If you were to die tonight, would you go to heaven?" And I said, startled, hadn't expected that. I said, "Yes, of course." The other one piped up and said, "How do you know that?" And I said, "Because Jesus has told me that if I believe in him, I need not die but can have everlasting life." It was the first one's turn now. He said, "Can you remember when you were saved?" I hadn't expected that either. And I said, "Well, kind of yes and kind of no." The other one said, "Then you are not saved. And if you were to die tonight, you would burn forever in the fires of hell." And I thought, well, this conversation's gone on long enough. So I went back to my coffee and preparing for worship. What do you think of that? I think that there are different ways of coming to Christ. Different ways because each of us starts from a different place, and each of us is different. Let me give you three examples of that from the New Testament. The first one is the Apostle Paul. We read about him in the scripture this morning. Paul could have said to those young men, "Yes, I can remember the time. Yes, I can remember the place. In fact, I could never forget it." He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. Nobody in the entire world hated Christianity more than he did. When Stephen, the first martyr of the faith, was stoned to death, Paul was there, holding the coats of those who were throwing the stones, putting his stamp of approval on their actions. He loved it. He loved it so much that when he ran out of victims in Jerusalem, he asked for permission to go to Damascus to find some more. And as he was going to Damascus, riding his donkey, suddenly there was a bright light that knocked him off of the donkey and blinded him. And he asked, "Who are you?" And the answer was, "I'm Jesus, whom you are persecuting." Perhaps the greatest conversion in Christian history. Because this devout enemy of the faith turned around entirely and became its most fervent advocate. In fact, we owe more to Paul than perhaps any other Christian except Jesus himself, who was probably not a Christian as we know it. Paul could remember that. He gives us the account here in the book of Acts, but in Galatians, he recounts it word for word, moment for moment. But there are two things that Paul does not do. One is he never forgets, and the other is he never says to you or me or to anybody else, because it happened to me this way, if it doesn't happen to you, you're not a Christian. He never expected anybody else to have that kind of experience. That was the mistake the young men were making. They wanted everybody to come to Christ the way they had. I have another example for you, and that is Timothy. He was a disciple of Paul, and in 2 Timothy, Paul says this to him, "I'm reminded of your authentic faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am sure that this faith also abounds with you." Timothy could never remember a time when he did not have faith. He could never remember a time in his life when he did not believe in God and did not turn to God with trust. And I have a feeling that many of you sitting here this morning could say, "Yeah, that's my experience. Like Timothy, I can never remember not believing, not having faith." That would be my story. I was blessed by being raised by my grandparents. I came from a military family, and that disrupts families. And so I was raised by an old Irish grandfather named R. O'Donohue, who I think was an undercover leprechaun. And a quiet, devout, little Quaker grandmother. And they taught me to believe. And not because of anything on my part, but simply by being blessed by them, I always believed, always had faith, always turned to God. But there's a third example. And in some ways, he's my favorite. And all of us, I think, can identify with him. It's Simon Peter. He's the patron saint of bumblers and stumblers. Simon Peter really needed to wear peppermint socks because he always had his foot in his mouth. He would go from beautiful highs to really sad and heartbreaking lows. One of them was a time when Jesus was talking with his disciples, and he asked them, "Who are people saying that I am?" And some of the disciples said, "Well, some think you're Elijah, and maybe one of the you might even be John the Baptist come back from the dead." But Jesus just waved them aside, and he looked at them carefully and said, "Whom do you think that I am?" And they began to study wallpaper and linoleum and shuffle their feet, but not Peter. Peter spoke up and said, "You are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Blessed are you, Simon. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. You are Peter, a little rock that you can pick up and toss. And upon this rock, a big boulder that you can't pick up and toss, I will build my church." The church isn't built on Simon Peter, but it's built on the truth that Simon Peter proclaimed. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that is the rock upon which the church is built. Oh, what a glorious time. But it didn't last long for peppermint sock Peter. A little later, Jesus would say, "I'm going to go to Jerusalem, and I'm going to die." And Peter said, "No, you won't. Not as long as I'm alive. That's not going to happen to you." And Jesus turned to Peter and said, "Get you behind me, Satan." Wow. What a trip from being a rock to being Satan. But it would happen again and again. The night Jesus was betrayed, he was having dinner with his disciples, and he told them that all of them would deny him. Here again, peppermint sock Peter said, "They might. You know, I'm not too sure about these guys. That's a shaky group of people you have there. But not me. No, I would never deny you." And Jesus shook his head and said, "Oh, Peter, before the cock crows, you will have denied me three times." And that night, it happened. Peter denied him three times and heard the cock crow and realized what had happened and went into the darkness and wept. But he would come out of the darkness. And on the day of Pentecost, when the keynote speech and sermon of the Church of Jesus Christ would be delivered, the one who would stand up and boldly deliver that message was none other than Simon Peter. But then it happened again. He was led by God to understand that the church was not just for Jews, but for everybody, even folks like us. The angel said, "What God has cleaned, don't you let anybody call unclean." And so he did that. But then when it became difficult to defend that, he backed off. The Apostle Paul would say, "And when he did, I confronted him to the face." Listen, if there was anybody you didn't want to enter into an argument with, it was the Apostle Paul. If Peter was the first pope, Paul seemed to have missed that. He confronted Peter, and he won. But what happened again? This time, according to legend, Peter would go to Rome to be with the Christians there who were being persecuted. And when he learned that the Romans were looking for him, he fled the city. Going out of the city on the Appian Way, he met Christ coming into the city. And he said to Jesus, "Quo vadis? Quo vadis, Domine? Where are you going? Where are you going, Lord?" And Jesus said, "I'm going to Rome to die for you a second time." Whereupon Peter reversed and went back into the city. And when they crucified him, he only requested that he be crucified upside down, because he didn't feel that he was worthy to be crucified the way Jesus had been. Quo vadis? Quo vadis, Domine? Peppermint sock Peter, you gotta love this guy. And many of us can say, that's the way I have come to Christ. Stumbling and bumbling, moving forward and then moving backwards and sideways. Some of us come like Paul, others come like Timothy, and others come like Peter. But the important thing is that we come. John Wesley was the founder of the Methodist faith. And early on in his ministry, he befriended a man by the name of George Whitefield. Together they preached. Together they established Methodism. But as they grew older, they grew apart. Wesley became more Arminian. Whitefield became more and more Calvinist. In fact, he's buried in New England in a Presbyterian cemetery. And when Whitefield died, somebody asked Wesley, "Do you expect to see George Whitefield in heaven?" And Wesley said, "No. No, I don't. I don't expect to see him because I expect him to be so close to the throne of God that looking for him would blind us." Wesley understood. It's not how you come to Christ, but that you do. I come from a large family, and we've been disrupted during the pandemic, as your families have been. We haven't had a family get together in well over a year. But it's going to happen. It's going to happen. We're different. We go to different churches. We live in different cities. We have different ideas, and sometimes we argue about them. But we're going to come. We're going to be there. We're going to come and be there because we are bound together. We're bound together by blood, and we're bound together by love. We are a family, and we are going to come. God's family is even larger. We are different. We're scattered throughout the entire world. We have different colors of skin, but we're going to come. We speak different languages, but we're going to be there. Some of us are rich and some of us are poor, but we're going to come. Some of us are young and some of us are old, but we're going to come. We're going to come to God's reunion because we are bound together by love and by blood. And we're going to come. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that we're not all the same. and because of your love and grace that we don't have to be. We do come to you in different ways because we're different and we start from different places. But let us come. Amen.
Please stand as you are able and join me as we state our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of Jesus' Son, his only Son, our Lord, who is conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. Descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. Descended into heaven. And sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, communion of saints, forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, life everlasting. Amen.
Let us pray. We come boldly before your throne of grace, Father, not because we deserve to, but because you have invited us. You haven't promised to give us everything we want, but you have promised that you will not turn a deaf ear to our pleas. So hear us now as we pray. For those who are suffering and struggling, hear our prayers. For our nation and our world and our leaders, hear our prayers. And for ourselves, that we might draw ever closer to you, hear our prayers. In the name of the one who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Join us in our hymn, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Hymn 341.
Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then where you go. Precious name, oh how sweet.